Ash Wednesday service. It'll be at St. Paul's Church at 7 o'clock. So keep that in mind. They asked me for some reason to bring the message that evening, but I know the Lord will be with us regardless, right? Amen. Amen. So other announcements are there in your bulletin. We're wrapping up our study, and we'll be starting our Lenten studies here beginning in March. So if you haven't got your books, please see Janelle and get your books as we begin. This will be our last study for the beginning of this year. After this study, we're going to take a little break, and we'll pick back up in the fall with our Bible studies. So keep those all in mind. Is there any announcements that I may have missed this morning? Seeing none, let us begin with a word of prayer. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we have come into your house on Transfiguration Sunday, where your Son Jesus Christ is revealing to three disciples, but more importantly, dear Lord, I pray that Jesus Christ is revealing himself to all of us, so all of us may come to know that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is our Lord and Savior. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand for the call to worship. The light of the Lord is shining with love.
Rise in our hearts, bright morning star.
God calls us now, saying, be not afraid.
Give peace in our lives, O promised one.
Come to the mountain, gaze at the glory.
Shine in our lives, light of the world.
Our opening hymn is Shine, Jesus, Shine. It's found in the black hymnal. message for them this morning?
Okay,
Christy over here. All right. Robin?
I have two praises.
sepsis, it's heart disease, and that it was found early enough that he can be treated. The parents ask that this be considered a praise, because the Lord has enabled them to be able to treat it so that he will, with treatment, live a normal little boy life. And it's considered a praise by the family. My other praise is that I had an unexpected gift given to me this week. I do not want to elaborate, but it blew me away, the gift, and I'd like to praise the Lord for it. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
So I have, I guess it's mostly a praise, but lots of prayers too, because we're going to have a baby this week. She's coming a little early, so so please keep us and the baby and me and the doctors and Charlie and my mom. My mom fell, so please keep her in your prayers as well. So she's trying to recover from that so she can be on her feet next week. So just please keep all of us in your prayers.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Any other praises? Yes, Robin.
My dad, Dan Hubbard, our head usher, celebrated a birthday yesterday. I won't say which one, but it's somewhere between 73 and 75.
And along that line, we have Janelle has a birthday coming up here on Saturday. She'll be 11, so keep her in prayer.
I've got a praise too.
Okay.
Dan, I'm over here.
Yes, sir.
My daughter didn't tell you, but she took me out to dinner last night, and her brother and all the grandchildren and everything, and she tried to get me to join the new millennial.
Oh, did she?
Uh-huh. Since I retired 15 years ago, I don't have a phone, so she bought me a phone. She expects me to learn how to use it. And another on... A praise I have is on the 20th, I've been smoke-free for a year.
So
I never thought I could ever make it 2 weeks, but I've made it a year this time.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Awesome. Ashton?
So since I came to church in August, we've seen the church really kind of struggle with getting youth and children in the church, and I just want to say the praise that we've had for the past 2 weeks consistently, like 5 kids in church. So that's
Amen.
Awesome.
Yes, praise the Lord. That's awesome. Any other praises we have?
Last week we went to Florida, flew down and flew back, visit friends down there, and a beautiful trip, beautiful weather. Unfortunately, came back to the cold and caught a cold. So, but anyway, we had a nice trip and really enjoyed it.
Good. Any other praises we have? Prayer concerns. Yes. Can we get a mic up here?
A longtime friend of mine, I used to call him an old friend, but he said, no, don't call him an old friend. Longtime friend of mine, Don Brink, fell a couple weeks ago and broke his leg, and it's gotten infected. And they're hoping not, but they may have to take off his foot. So if you'll keep him in your prayers.
Yes, we will. Certainly will. Certainly will. Any other prayer concerns that we have? Yes. Brandon.
Just thankful to know that all the people that were on vacation and went to Florida or wherever got back safely, and we welcome you all back.
Yes, glad to have them back. That's awesome. Any other prayer concerns that we may have? Certainly, we need to keep in prayer those that are being affected by the coronavirus. We're blessed that to hear that Kate is off the ship and they're still in quarantine, but at present time, am I right, Janelle? No diagnosis of coronavirus, so we give praise to God. But this virus is affecting worldwide. It's a worldwide situation, so we need to pray to God to help us to find a way of containing the virus and also helping those that are being affected by it. Amen. And certainly we need to pray for this country and certainly for the world as well as our church and our community here in Cambridge. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you, O Lord, and we are just so filled with thanksgiving and praise for all that you have done in our lives and in our lives of our loved ones, O God, how you continue to reach out and continue to pour blessing upon us, O God. Heavenly Father, we hear about the diagnosis and healing work that is beginning in a young boy's life so that he will have a normal life, O God. We hear, dear Lord, how you are protecting others from the coronavirus that is affecting so many. And we give you thanks for your protection over Kate and her family. We are so blessed, dear Lord, to have children within our church this morning, dear Lord. And they are the present and future of our church. And we ask you to bless their families, O God. Heavenly Father, we also come before you, dear Lord, and we lift up ones that are struggling with all kinds of medical situations. We pray for this gentleman with his foot, dear Lord. And Heavenly Father, we also pray for those that are affected by the coronavirus. We ask your hedge of protection to be with them, that you will provide the necessary medicines for helping to cure them, and that you'll help in preventing the spread to others, O Lord. We also pray for our country, dear Lord. Our country seems to be in so much turmoil and so much strife is in our country, O Lord. We pray, O God, that we may be able to sit down and have conversation with each other in a peaceful way, not in a judgmental way, not in a way where we're putting others down, but in a way that we are listening to each other, O God. And Heavenly Father, we pray for the world, dear Lord, and we ask your grace of thee upon the world leaders, dear Lord, and we pray, O God, that they will govern diligently. We pray for our community in Cambridge. We know there's so many people that are hurting here, and we pray, O God, that you will be there, that we can be the hands and feet to help others, dear Lord, to lift them out of the pit that they might be in, to bring them into the light and into your glory, most importantly, into your love, O Lord. And we as the body of Christ, dear Lord, may be the hands and feet of Jesus within this community, O God. Heavenly Father, we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We continue with our worship by presenting unto God our tithes, our gifts, and our offerings. Ushers, please. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, to pause and to give thanks to you for your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name I pray.
The Old Testament reading today is from Exodus chapter 14, verses 12 through 18, which is found on page 78 in your pew Bible. Moses climbs up Mount Sinai at the commandment of God. On the mountain, Moses receives the law, the Ten Commandments, on tablets of stone. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandments I have written for their instruction." Then Moses set out with Joshua, his aide, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. He said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them." When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days, the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the God looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain. Then he stayed on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand as you're able for the singing of the hymn, "Be Thou My Vision," which is found on page 451 in your hymnal.
Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all that
If you are standing, please remain standing for the reading of a gospel message. And the gospel message today is from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 12, which is found on page 973 in your pew Bible. In this passage of scripture, Jesus ascends up the mountain with three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. These disciples will witness Moses and Elijah appearing, God speaking, and Jesus being transfigured. And how cool is that? After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our worship service now will continue with our choir singing of the anthem.
Come follow me,
that
starting to get it. Takes a while for his hard head from time to time. We are bombarded by all kinds of information, aren't we? Social media, text messaging, emails. And if that was not enough, our news networks, they don't only report the news, but they give you their opinion about the news, don't they? We can't even make up for ourselves our own minds anymore. They tell us how we need to react to the news, don't they? I don't know about all you, but I get all this stuff juddered up in here and all cluttered up, and I just like, whoa. I need to figure out a way to get all this stuff out, right? And to focus on Almighty God. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we are so bombarded by everybody's opinions on all kinds of issues going on within our world and in our lives, oh God. Heavenly Father, our minds get all jumbled up and cluttered up. We need to be freed from all that and to focus on you. Show us, oh God, show us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please open to the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter, starting in verse number 1. It starts out after 6 days. Now, when you see a phrase like that, you should automatically say to yourself, what happened 6 days ago? You know, if you're reading a novel or a book or something like that, if you see that phrase, okay, what happened 6 days ago? Well, we have to go back to chapter 16 to find out exactly what happened 6 days ago. In the beginning of chapter 16, it said the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus, and they tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. In other words, they tested Jesus. They wanted to know, Jesus, you claim you are the Son of God. Show us a sign from heaven. If you truly are the Son of God, show us a sign from heaven. And Jesus replied to them, when evening comes, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red and in the morning. Today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the time. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. And the sign of Jonah, if we remember back in our Old Testament history, we remember that God sent the prophet Jonah to Nineveh. And Jonah says, I'm not going there. So he decides to get in a boat and flee from God. I'm telling you right now, you cannot flee from God. Every time you try to flee from God, God will always find you. Amen. God will always find you. So Jonah tries to flee from God. He gets in the boat, and lo and behold, a violent storm comes up, and the sailors find out that it's Jonah that's creating this storm, and they toss him overboard as Jonah has requested. God sends a big fish, and Jonah is rescued. He doesn't drown. He's rescued by God, and he stays in the belly of this fish for 3 days and 3 nights, probably eating sardines. Oh, my gosh, no. Anyway, the same thing is going to happen to Jesus. He's going to be in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights. This is the sign of Jonah. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they remembered that after Jesus died, because they went to Pontius Pilate and said, hey, there was this guy, Jesus, that you you crucified, you know. He said he's coming back from the dead. You need to put guards up there so he won't show up. Guess what? He showed up. We'll get into that later on Easter, amen? But anyway, that is the sign of Jonah. So, not only do we have this part in chapter 16, but then Jesus wants to know what his disciples are thinking about him. And he says to them, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But Jesus turns the question around. And he says, "But who do you say I am?" Just like we have the silence now, you can almost hear a pin drop after that question as well. Simon Peter says, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus tells Simon, "Blessed are you, Simon of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." See, God gave Peter those words, you know. But then later on, Jesus is talking about the fact that he's going to Jerusalem, that he's going to suffer many things at the hands of the elder, the chief priest, and the teacher of the law, and that he's going to be killed. And on the third day, he's going to rise to life. And Peter says these words to Jesus, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." See, God gave Peter the insight to know that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah. But Peter doesn't really understand all of this, and his humanness comes out when he says, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." At which Jesus says to him, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." And isn't that us? Isn't that us? We can't comprehend the things of mind, but we have a lot of things of men inside our minds, don't we? And unfortunately, that gets us into a lot of trouble with God and with our relationships with others, doesn't it? We need to have in mind the things of God. So this is what is going on the 6 days. Jesus wants to make absolutely, positively sure that the leadership of the disciples, his closest friends, really know who he is without a shadow of a doubt. Amen? And so he takes Peter, James, and John, and he takes them up on a high mountain by themselves. Now, we are never told where that mountain is. You know, a lot of times the Bible points out mountains to us, places to us. For instance, on Mount Sinai, the Bible tells us that is where God met Moses and gave Moses the Ten Commandments, which Tom just read to us this morning. We're told that up on Mount Moriah, that's where God meets Abraham as Abraham is about to sacrifice his only son Isaac to show to God that God is more important to him than family. And God respects that of Abraham, and God meets Abraham there on Mount Moriah and says, "Abraham, don't sacrifice Isaac. Instead, there's a ram over there in the bush. Sacrifice that instead." We're told about Mount Carmel, where Elijah has a confrontation with 450 prophets of Baal up on Mount Carmel. And if you read in 1 Kings, read that chapter this week, it is amazing. Because Elijah shows up on Mount Carmel against 450 prophets of Baal. You would think that the odds would be stacked against him, but the prophets of Baal got a problem. Because they they've never met God, and they don't know about the power of God, amen? And up on Mount Carmel, these 450 prophets of Baal are told by Elijah to prepare an altar, to put a sacrifice on that altar, and call down your God of Baal to bring fire down from heaven and burn up this sacrifice upon this altar. And then we will truly know that Baal is God. What happens? They prayed, they chanted, they cut themselves, they did everything possible. Elijah says, maybe you need to pray a little harder. Maybe Baal is in the bathroom. He needs to be shouted out to you. What happens? As dust falls, no fire comes down from heaven. Elijah says, fine, now it's my turn. I want to show you God, the true God. So Elijah builds an altar. He puts the wood on the altar. He digs a trench around the altar. He prepares the sacrifice, puts the sacrifice on the altar, and then tells people, bring up buckets of water and pour on top of the altar. Pour on top of the sacrifice. Fill this whole situation with so much water that the water flows out of the altar and into the trenches around the altar till the trenches are completely full of water. And then Elijah gets down on his hands and knees and says, God, show up. And all of a sudden, fire comes down from heaven, burns up the sacrifice, burns up the wood, burns up the stone, burns up all the water, and scorches the ground. And then Elijah tells the people all there, that is the true God. Worship him. So as Jesus is climbing up this mountain, we're not told about where this mountain is. And to me, that's an important part here. Because if we're not told where the mountain is, we don't need to go to the mountains to see God. Amen? We can go to the valleys and see God. We can be here in church. We can be at our house. We can be at work. We can be driving in our car. We can be anywhere on the face of this earth, and God is going to show up. Amen? But as they are climbing up this mountain, Jesus' face is shining like the sun. And his clothes are becoming white as light. And then lo and behold, Moses and Elijah appear to Jesus. This is amazing. Moses and Elijah. Well, I just told you, Moses was on Mount Sinai when God showed up on Mount Sinai. Moses saw God face to face. Elijah was up on Mount Carmel when God showed up, amen? And Elijah was there with God. And you know, Moses was given the laws by God. Elijah was given the prophecies from God. The other interesting thing is that there's only two people in the Bible recorded there that never died. Enoch in Genesis, God took him is what the Bible said. And Elijah. Elijah was taken up by God in a fiery chariot that came down from heaven. And Moses, the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy that Moses died, but God buried him, and we don't know where the burial grounds of Moses is. We don't know where the grave of Moses is. But these two show up. And as they are there, all of a sudden, a bright cloud envelope them all. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now, it's interesting that the first part of this phrase, "This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased," is the same thing that God says to Jesus when Jesus is being baptized by John in the Jordan River. It says, a voice from heaven said, "This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." God did that because the disciples were not there at Jesus' baptism, were they? God did that to point out to the disciples that Jesus is the Son of God. And then God says these words, "Listen to him. Listen to him." You know, I heard a husband once say, or maybe it was myself, it said, "My wife never listens to her," or "I never listen to my wife," is what my wife says. At least I think that's what she said anyway. See, there's a difference between listening and hearing, amen? There's a difference between listening and hearing. Hearing, we take in all the thoughts and they get jumbled up in their minds and all this kind of stuff. And we don't know what the person said when they get done, right? But listening is, we block all that out, turn off the TV, we make room for the person that's speaking to us, so we can truly hear what they are saying to us. Amen? You know, we need to listen instead of hearing. A young boy named Samuel was with the priest Eli. And God called to him in the night. And he came running into Eli's bedroom and he said, "Did you call me, master?" And Eli said, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." This went on several times. And then the next time after this goes on, Samuel comes into Eli's bedroom. Eli realizes that it is God that is speaking to young Samuel. And he says to Samuel, respond this way, "Speak, for your servant is listening." You know, Elijah, after he had this wonderful situation, confrontation with the prophets of Baal, Queen Jezebel's not happy with all this. She lost all her prophets in one great big swoop there. She's not happy about all this, so she demands that Elijah be killed. Elijah's frightened. So God sends Elijah to the Mount of Horeb. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 11, the Lord said to Elijah, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. But after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave, and the Lord met him. The psalmist says in Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." You know, we're at the end of the time of Epiphany. We're moving into this time of Lent, and Lent is a time that is marked with us beginning a journey that starts with Ash Wednesday this week, when we realize that we are only dust and to dust we shall return. At the end of the 40-day journey, our hope is that we have drawn closer in our relationship with Almighty God. Amen. And in order to achieve this, we need to get rid of the distractions and other people's opinions and focus our time on Almighty God. Amen. Not coming with any preconceived ideas, which I know is extremely hard to do, but being still and listening to God. The truth is that God may say something to us that may be something very hard for us to hear, maybe even sting our hearts. But in the truth in the long run is that this will be a wonderful source of healing, because by his wounds we are healed. And God has so much to say to us, but are we willing to listen? Are we willing to listen? It says, after that time on the mountain, the disciples were left with only Jesus. Jesus is all we need, amen, church? Jesus is all we need. Let us listen to him. Amen? Let us pray. Oh, gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we can be distracted by so many things in this world, so many people's opinions. And Heavenly Father, help us. Help us to get rid of all those distractions, to come to you not with preconceived notions and ideas, but to simply sit at your feet and listen. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Please stand for our closing hymn, Open My Eyes That I May See. The altar is open to anyone that needs to lift a burden unto the Lord or would like to know more about this Jesus. You're welcome to come forward. The rest of the congregation, please stand as we sing, Open My Eyes That I May See, number 454.
Thank you.
you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. My sisters and brothers in Christ, know this. Remove the distractions of this world and take time to listen to God. And God will reveal His truth to you. And all God's people said,